I'm a convert to the Catholic Church, as many of you know. I was 18 when I converted. And one of the things that I've become aware of in the, almost 50 years that I've been a Catholic is that there's more than one way to be Catholic. And there's no end of people willing to tell you how to do it right or how you're doing it wrong. So, for example, for many years there's this EWTN approach that says if you're not saying at least some of it in Latin, you're doing it wrong. And there's other groups that get out there and say, hey, wait a minute, all you need to do is be a good social worker and you're a good Catholic. And so you have all these different things blowing out there, and they all have their purpose in our tradition. The problem is, how do you find the middle? How do you stay on the vine? And that is precisely the issue in that first reading, where Paul and Barnabas have been running all over Greek-speaking Roman Empire and evangelizing and bringing people to the faith. But they are on the heels of a much older religious tradition that they come out of. And this is the temple tradition. And as more and more Jews come into the faith, along come these Pharisees. Now picture Pharisees. They all studied Latin in high school. They think the Mass should still be in Latin. I'm kidding. But they were Pharisees. And they're trying to hold on to as much of the Mosaic Jewish tradition as they can. And these issues were not light issues. These were heavy-duty issues. The issue of circumcision, the dietary rules that were very Jewish. And Paul was not emphasizing this. And so as soon as Paul and Barnabas would go through an area and preach and get conversions, along would come these volunteers that would come through, but they were Pharisees. And they would say, now, Paul's almost got it right, but you got to be circumcised and you have to follow these dietary rules. Already, the apostles, we know this from Peter. One day he's eating with Gentiles, Gentile food. And after a while, he will only eat at Jewish tables, Jewish food. And you can see there's a struggle going on. We need to go back and look where these rules came from. The Mosaic rules were external rules for a people that refused to be faithful. That's what happened at the foot of Mount Sinai. And the rules that came down, the circumcision, the dietary rules, are external. And throughout the entire Old Testament, you hear the prophets coming along and saying, in one way or another, circumcise your hearts. I don't need any more of your sacrifices. You think I need the smoke of bulls and calves? Circumcise your hearts. Or as Ezekiel might say, I will take away your stony hearts and I will put fleshy hearts in you. I will write my rule within you. And Jesus comes along. Not once in Jesus' ministry is it recorded that he said anything about circumcision. He's working on the heart. You see the tension? It's a real tension. It's not between religious and unreligious. It's between very religious and very religious. And the issue is to stay part of the vine, that the branches not get cut off from the vine. And Paul and Barnabas and the Antioch community know how to stay connected. And they say, you know what? We need to go back to Jerusalem and talk to the Jerusalem church of the apostles who are still living. Now, this would be in the mid-40s, mid to late 40s. This is the setup for the Council of Jerusalem. You know, we had Vatican II in 1963 to 65, and that came on the heels of Vatican I in the 19th century. And I forget how many Vatican councils there are. I think it's a number between 15 and 20 over the last 2,000 years. But once in a while, you have to go back and get all the heads together. The most knowledgeable, respected of all the bishops, get as many of them together as possible and have a council. This is the setup in Acts of the Apostle for the very first ecumenical council, the Council of Jerusalem. And they're going to bring this issue up, and it'll be in the next readings. But this is the setup. Who's the most religious? How are we going to sort this out? And the only way to sort it out is in the church. And we remember something very important about Jesus' promises. Where did Jesus go after his ascension? Where did he go? I will be with you always until the end of time. We think of him as geographically being separated from us. Jesus went into the church. That's the only way we have a sacramental apostolic church. And the apostles knew to trust in themselves that he would be with them. And they're taking the most important issue of the day, even though they all held very strong opinions, into conference together. Stay tuned for what comes next. Trust the church. We have more issues today, and they're ripping us apart, and there won't be a generation in the history of the church, past or the future to come, that won't have such issues. And we'll get through it, because he is always the vine, and we are always the branches, as long as we remain faithful and connected to the vine.